If you are here by chance this morning, or if you say, I worship here every week, or if you say, no, this morning in particular, very specifically, I wanted to be here, you are in for a treat. Hold on to the bottom of your pews because I am not speaking. And everybody said, amen. That hurts a little, but that's all right. Instead, we have a special guest speaker. You may know him as Jeff, just with one F. But no, he is your friendly neighborhood mailman. He delivers your mail on time, every time. He is a friendly presence both here at church and in the community. When he's here at church, you normally hear him making a beautiful praise noise on the drum set. This morning he's going to make a different kind of noise. The one, the only, Jeff Jarecki, would you help me welcome him up here this morning? I have to share one other thing because you're going to think that I'm more of a jerk than you already think I am if I don't share this. I told Jeff ahead of time, he didn't believe me, but I meant it, and I even brought reinforcements. I'm going to heckle him during his sermon. Take it away, Jeff. Look forward to hearing from you.
No pressure. And don't make me separate you two. Oh, yeah, here it starts. I wait. Okay, I was given some advice before I got up here. I was told the old adage of picture your audience in their underwear. I'm still don't do that. And I wasn't going to anyway because I did not want to picture Devin in his Vikings underwear. It was just not a pretty sight. So. Commando, got it. Okay, so if you're wondering why I'm preaching today, it's a real good question. Some of you are like, why is Jeff preaching? Wasn't he just over there? If you don't know me, you have no clue what's going on. If you do know me, you're probably thinking, it's anything can happen day. We don't know what he's going to do. So what are my qualifications for being up here? When Devin first got here, he thought it would be fun to do something fun with us, a get-to-know-you project. And we had a fantasy football league. This was great. Didn't know what I was doing. I was new to this also. And as we're setting up our teams, Devin says, you know, there's going to be a great prize involved in this. We're all excited. It's like, what are we playing for here? He says, loser has to preach. And we thought he was kidding. I lost. He wasn't kidding. So, I knew what I wanted to do with this time, I wanted to be short, funny, irreverent, basically get up here and do a stand-up routine, just something in my comfort zone, 5 minutes out to lunch, done. I know, but that would have been a great plan. Well, we've heard people stand up here before and say, you know, I had an idea of what I was going to preach about, but, you know, during the week, a different message was laid on me, and I'm not going to be so presumptuous as to say that I've got a direct line anywhere or that, you know, God spoke to me. All I know is that my plans got cast aside. I got a different message laid on my heart. I'm going to try to keep it enjoyable. Let's have a little fun with it. But it's more serious than what I was anticipating originally. So, to get started, let me just ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's great to have goals. It's a fun question. We've all heard it. We've all struggled with the answer from time to time. You know, what job do you want to have for the rest of your life? I struggle with the last two words of that. I hear that's seriously overrated. Don't think I really want to do that. But we ask little kids all the time, what do you want to be when you grow up? And we get great answers from them, don't we? You know, I want to be a physicist and study quarks. You know, I want to be an actuary. You know, these are not things they say. They tell us, you know, they want to go on to be doctors, nurses, firemen, policemen, teachers. Just in case you were wondering, a quark is a subatomic particle that makes up protons and neutrons. So if you learn nothing else today from my sermon, you know what a quark is. So when we ask these kids what they want to be when they grow up, and they say doctors, lawyers, policemen, firemen, how many of them actually reach those goals? Not that many. things happen. Life happens. Life changes. Situations change, opportunities change, interests, passions. Seems like there's nothing but change. As humans, we're constantly changing, physically, mentally, follically. Yes, I pictured some of our previous pastors. That was fun. We look in the mirror and we see changing hair colors, either by nature or by choice. Purple is not natural. It's good. I like it. It's not natural. It's a lousy color on a jersey. But we say, I'm done. Thank you, Dyer. So we're surrounded by change. The seasons change, jobs, businesses, governments, relationships, on and on and on. We could all add to this list. It's been said the only constant is change. Okay, raise your hand if you really, really like change. Yeah, there's like three. People are weird. People in general resist change. But why? It's everywhere. It's happening all the time, whether we like it or not. It permeates our lives, and yet very few of us embrace it. We had a wonderful change in our lives this week. I wasn't going to do this. Jason and Tristan delivered a beautiful new baby girl, Vienna Lee, into our lives and into the world. And you bet we're embracing that change. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. How many of you just had that song by the Birds in your head? Right. If you didn't, you're either too young or your parents haven't taught you about good music. Go back and talk to them. Now, we haven't heard this in a while. The great 20th century philosopher Bob Dylan said, times, they are changing. Thanks, Bob. That doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Could have been in a fortune cookie. Yes, times are changing. They've been changing since the beginning of time. Some changes are good. Others not so much. Sometimes we don't recognize a change as being good until we come out the other side of it. But the Bible tells us that change is normal. It's part of life. There's a season for every change. And currently, which season are we in? Road construction, that's right. Road construction season. The orange cones are in full bloom. The pavement-eating monsters have come out of hibernation. None of our normal routes are available. Isn't this fun? But we know it's a temporary inconvenience. Of course, you know, it's going to lead to a better situation. Now, using that logic, none of us are going to complain about road construction anymore, right? Yeah, sure. Of course we're going to complain. It's what we do. It's in our DNA. It's what we've always done. And it's even in Scripture. Moses had been leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and they finally are approaching the Promised Land, only to learn from their spies that the city is fortified by an army. So today, in Numbers chapter 14, 1 through 4, that night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Just the other day, my brother gave me a bit of advice, kind of like how to get out of jury duty advice. But this was, he said, if you're ever asked to read Scripture, use character voices, and you'll probably never ask to be do it again. Now, we don't even need to really do that here. You can hear this conversation in your head, can't you? Moses, are we there yet? You haven't asked for directions in decades. What do you mean there's an army? We're better off as slaves. Next week, Devin will be doing voices in his sermon. Even though God had promised them a better situation, a better life, they couldn't believe that this was going to be a change for the better. And in all this time, we still react to change the same way. Even when we know in our gut that a good, positive change is needed, that it's going to be a change for the better, it's still hard to embrace it. So why do we resist positive change in our lives? We don't have time for that. That's much too big of a topic all on its own for me to even try during the sermon. However, fear of the unknown is one huge reason. This prevents us from doing so many things in life. It keeps us from making necessary positive change because we're unsure of what that future would look like. If I made this change, what would come next? Could I handle it? Would I really be better off than I am now? The unknown is scary. Some of you know my story. For those of you who don't, here's the abridged Reader's Digest condensed version without the gory details. This is the second marriage for both Juanita and I. My first marriage was bad almost from the beginning. She was emotionally abusive, sometimes physically abusive, and she cheated on our marriage repeatedly. I filed for divorce twice. Both times she begged me not to leave her, and she said she would change. Both times I stayed, but she didn't change for long. I finally decided that I had had enough of this and filed a third and final time. I promised you the abbreviated version, and believe me, that's about as brief as it gets. In real time, this whole process took over 17 years. Now, here I was in a situation that I knew was bad. I knew I needed to change. But I had trouble making that very, very necessary change because I didn't know what would come next. I had no way of knowing just how wonderful my life would become. By finally deciding to make that change and get out of the bad situation I was in, a very strange series of improbable events began to take place. Yeah, she's laughing already. Things that never should have happened did happen. Things that quickly led to Juanita and I getting married, and this September will be 19 years for us. Yeah. So why did I share all this? Well, it's because not only the fact that it's my absolute favorite happily ever after love story ever, it illustrates what I said about both resisting, even positive changes, even though you know that they're needed. And in fearing the unknown, even though you're sure, it's got to be better than where you are currently. As the great 20th century philosopher David Bowie said, turn and face the strange changes. And trust me, they were strange. And come on, as soon as you knew I was talking about change, you knew I had to quote Bowie, so good, he's in there. Yeah. Now, if our lives are this nonstop whirlwind of change, it makes sense that we'd be looking for something steady and unchanging to cling to. That helps to explain why people really resist change in church. Change in church is another huge topic that we could discuss in a month of seminars and clinics, and we'd just be scratching the surface. I just want to briefly share some thoughts from the late Reverend L. Michael Wilson, who served nearly 30 years in the Northern Indiana Conference of the United Methodist Church. In an article he wrote entitled, The Apostles' Mission, Sometimes to Embrace Change. In it, just as a point of reference, he refers to us, people who have been here in church for most of our lives, as apostles. He writes, Jesus charged us with making disciples of all nations. That is the work of an apostle, to make disciples. An apostle focuses not on their own needs, but rather on those of the less mature in the faith. Of course, apostles never outgrow their need for learning and being nurtured in the faith. In that sense, apostles are also always disciples, needing constantly to be nourished by others. But their primary focus needs to be on the needs of others, not themselves. Apostles will sing unfamiliar music with enthusiasm. Yeah, that's fun, isn't it? As long as it seems to speak to others that are coming along in the faith. They will welcome new worship styles as long as they see others responding and growing closer to God. All right, so if we listen to Reverend Wilson, what he is saying does fit with what we are trying to do here. We want to reach new people. We want to reach new young families. We want to bring more people into a relationship with Christ by building this kingdom right here. So yes, we are talking about changes being made here in church. However, we do still need that steady and unchanging rock in our lives. We do need a calm port in the storm of life's changes. And we can have that here also. Our next slide. Malachi tells us, "For I am the Lord your God, I never change." And Hebrews tells us, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." Right there is our constant, unchanging base. That's our rock. That's what we cling to. And that's what will get us through any of life's changes. This all right here, all of this can change as long as we keep our focus right there. I can't and won't even try right now to get into all of the possible areas where we could change, grow, and evolve. I will just say that the next generation, the people we are trying to reach, won't be reached in the same ways that most of us were. They react to different, newer stimuli. We have people here who don't even have a computer in their home. The next generation can't imagine not having one on their wrist. They live online. They bank online. They shop online. They shop for churches online. So we're getting there. Rachel Herman is doing a great job making sure we have an online presence. As we continue to grow and develop new and better programs and activities for the youth, young families who visit us will hopefully find a church who will be ready to meet the spiritual needs of their their whole family. A church that will make them feel like they've found a new home. That's the way I felt when I first came here with my boys almost 20 years ago. I love this place. I'd love to see that kind of energy and excitement here again. Okay, so we've talked about the importance of change, and yes, we've made some changes. And yes, we will continue to make changes, and that's fine, as long as the changes we make are designed to appeal to the young families that we want to attract to this church. Now, we can deliver the most exciting spiritual experience in the entire Midwest. Lots of tech, multimedia presentations, amazing surround sound, a big band with a whole big horn section provided by both Chicago and Earth, Wind & Fire. Concert-style lighting, pews designed by Lazy Boy, communion provided by French pastry chefs, valet parking, you get the idea. These are all Dovin's ideas. If we did all of these amazing things, it wouldn't bring in one single person. Oh, they'd want to stay once they got here, and that's great. We want that. We want this to be a place with so many vibrant, energized programs going on and something for everyone in the family. So when they get here, this is where they want to be. But doing all these things wouldn't bring any of them in because we're still missing one very important part. And that's Tom Lane. Where is he? He's at the race today. It's not just Tom. It's Devin. It's Bob. It's me. It's everyone here. We need to get excited again. We need to be excited about what's going on here, because that is when we start telling others. That's when we tell our friends, hey, you should come hear this awesome new preacher we got. Vikings fan, but he's good. He's good. You'd like him. Hey, you should bring your kids and come to the Family Fun Fest we're having next month. There's an easy one. Try that. Bring some people in. Or, hey, remember that problem you were talking to me about? Those questions you have? Our pastor is starting a sermon series all about that. You should come to church with me. Maybe you can get some answers. And that is when we have the opportunity to bring people to Christ. It's through our attitude, our excitement, that we get to reach others. And that is why we need to embrace the changes. We need to be excited about the changes, because we know where that path is leading. We've been down that path. It's a fun path. It's leading us to the opportunity to bring people from outside these walls into this church family and into a relationship with Christ. And that's what we say we want to do. We want to build his kingdom here. Yes, it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of people stepping up, making commitments, getting involved. It's not going to be easy. But I promise you, it will be exciting. Looking down that path is like looking at a roller coaster. It's uphill with lots of twists and turns and gut-wrenching drops. To me, it sounds like fun. But if that's not your cup of tea, there is another path we can choose. This other path looks nice, and wide and level and straight. It's even nicely paved. It's definitely the easier of the two paths. This is the path that lets us keep things just the way we want them. We sit in our pew each week with a thermostat where we like it. Sorry, hon. Singing the 100-year-old hymns that we like, saying the same prayers. In other words, no changes. It's definitely easier. But is it really better? And where does that path lead us? If we look down that path, we don't see excitement. We don't see energy. We don't see vitality. We don't see a church engaging with the community. We don't see growth. And if we look further ahead, and warning, I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off this one and be brutally honest here. Without growth, without bringing in new members, as we each die, our numbers will drop to the point where it'll be impossible to keep the doors open, and Dyer United Methodist Church will be nothing more than a nice piece of town history. At the end of the Moses story that we read just a little bit ago, they're outside the city, and Moses knows that he's not going to make it in. But he has one more thing to tell them. He says, on this day, I set before you blessings or a curse, life or death. The choice is yours. But the choice really wasn't theirs. You know, being a good, stereotypical Jewish dad, he looks at them and he says, but choose life. He's got to tell them what to do anyway. So the last one, I've heard this saying said around here several times, and I love this. You're free to choose, but you are not free from the consequences of your choice. Several of the women who were here aren't here anymore. I heard this from the time I got here, and I love this. Used it with our kids a lot. If we look at the two paths before us and the final destination of each path with all the consequences they bring, I think the right choice is pretty clear. Jesus directs us to bring others to the faith, to make disciples. It's not about us anymore. We're already here. Now, how do we make all of this attractive and inviting to all of them? To the next generation and the next and the next. By evolving, by growing, yes, by changing. We're told to be good stewards. Those who were here in the beginning of Dyer United Methodist did a great job providing for us. Now we need to be good stewards and have an eye to the future by providing for the next generation. Only one of these paths will lead us to that destination. We have to decide, what do we want? Do we do what we want, or do we do what God wants us to do? So what do you want to be when you grow up? Or better yet, who do we want to be as a church as we go forward? Do we want to be a part of Dyer's history? Or do we want to be that exciting, vibrant, welcoming, yeah, kind of crazy, growing church that will continue to be engaged with our community, feeding our community spiritually into the future? The choice and the consequences are ours.